Billy Brim, and the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I decided that I needed to come to our radio listeners because of what has happened recently with Virginia Tech and the people being shot by a crazed, demon-possessed killer in the classrooms. 32 people were shot, and then he shot himself. But already I had been teaching on the believer's authority. The Lord had stirred me up to it, and in November 2006, he caused a book to be come into my hands. Now, I knew about the believer's authority. When I first came to work for Brother Kenneth E. Hagin in 1970, he had a book that he called The Believer's Authority. He had teaching on the authority of the believer. First time I'd ever heard it, and I was so glad to hear it because I had four children I was bringing up, and I was glad to hear that I was not just subject to the devil's whims over my children and over their lives, that just as God gave Adam authority in the garden, he gave Billy Brim authority over my garden at 624 South 13th in Collinsville, Oklahoma, where we were bringing up children. And I can tell you, I learned to use. Brother Hagin said, he taught us, he said, do it like this, say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. And I would use that around my household, around my children, kept them safe from the enemy's antics against them. And so I knew about the authority of the believer. I had used it for many years. But something happened to me this last November. Someone sent me a book by John A. McMillan named The Authority of the Believer. It was out of print. They had seen this book referred to in Kenneth E. Hagin's book called The Believer's Authority. And you should get Brother Hagin's book as well. You can order it from us, or you can get it from Kenneth Hagin Ministries in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rhema Bible Training Center. But in his book, Brother Hagin talks about the believer's authority, and he says that there was a pamphlet that really inspired him, which he read back in the 50s, by John A. McMillan, a missionary to China and the Philippines, who later edited the Alliance Weekly. Well, back in November of 2006, someone sent me Brother McMillan's book, The Authority of the Believer. I tell you, when I opened those pages, it grabbed me. Of course, I had learned this years before, but there was something about the impetus. I didn't know in November that this shooting was going to occur. But I can tell you, at that shooting in Virginia, without one doubt, the man was demon-possessed. And without one doubt, believers with authority could have and should have stopped him. I'm reading you to you now from The Authority of the Believer. And before we go off the air, we're going to tell you how to get this book from us, John A. McMillan. This is his preface. The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. And then he names unrest among the nations, secularized education, godlessness in our country. And he names things and goes into detail, which I won't take the time to do now. I did it yesterday. But listen to the solution. What good is there to know the problems? What good is there to go to church and hear how bad everything is and how everything's going to the dogs? You need to know some solutions. You need to know some answers. You need to go where they know the back of the book and that we're winners and what to do every day until that day. So he says in his preface, now remember his first line was, the rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. And then he names the things. And at the end he says, to meet the situation, the Church of Christ needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see the ministry in the heavenlies to which they have been called. Such believers may, in union with the great head of the body, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged. Satan has to obey us. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Ephesians 4:27. Mark 16:17-18. And I could go on and on. But to repeat his last line, if we exercise our ministry in the heavenlies, we may, in union with the great head of the body, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged. Now, I'm going to be talking to you this week and next about the authority of the believer, because it is absolutely necessary now. His first chapter, John A. McMillan's first chapter, The Authority of the Believer. There are few subjects relating to the Christian life concerning which there is so little exact knowledge as that of the authority of the believer. This is not because such authority is the property of only a few elect souls. On the contrary, it is the possession of every true child of God. It is one of the all things received in Christ. Its reception dates from the soul's contact with Calvary. Do you remember the day that you came in contact with Calvary? The day you came in contact with Calvary is the day you came into the possession of authority over Satan and principalities and powers and might and dominion. Now, the day I came in contact with Calvary was, I was just a little girl. I was about, I think I was 7 years old, and I was in Coweta, Oklahoma, First Baptist Church Spring Revival. I can remember the name of the evangelist, Oscar Pigg. And I can remember that he was a fiery preacher. Now, I had been brought up in a church home, on a church pew. I bet my family took me to church in a basket. I know they did. They told me stories of how they would put me in that basket on the front seat of the church. And my dad was a deacon. And I'd sit down there all through the church service, or lay down there. And I was probably in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and every spring and fall revival. But then when I got to be about 7 years old, I remember I did a very naughty thing one day. I hit the neighbor girl. And she was much younger than me. And I was convicted immediately of my sin. And I went that night to the spring revival at the First Baptist Church in Coweta, Oklahoma. Now it's an apartment house, Broadway Apartments, I think they call it. But it's the same building. I drove by it just the other day, and I remembered this night. And I walked down that aisle, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I came back to my house, and we drove up in front of my house, and I thought there were very high steps then going up the hill. Now they're not; they don't look very high. And I went up those steps, and I looked up at the stars, and I thought, now I'm safe. Now I'm safe. I can go to heaven. Bless the Lord. I wouldn't go to hell tonight if I died. And I was so happy my sins were forgiven. But I also had been, something had happened to me. I had been given the authority of the believer. Because when God raised Christ from the dead, he raised me and seated him at his own right hand, he seated me. And though I was 7 years old and I did not know one thing in the world about it, I had a new authority over demons. This, however, this knowledge that we have authority as believers, the enemy tries to keep us from understanding. This is probably, and again I'm reading from Macmillan, because of the extreme importance of a correct understanding of its privileges and responsibilities, and because of the power which these confer on a believer, the enemy has especially sought to hold back this knowledge from God's people. He has been successful through the employment of his blinding tactics, which he has found effective in the case of the lost and those who believe not. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that's what the Bible calls Satan, one of his names, the God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest they receive the light of the glorious gospel. So for the people who don't see, the people all around you, maybe even in your own household that think you're a little crazy, they don't see because of Satan's blinding tactics. He has these blinding tactics. He blinds their eyes so that they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel. But a part of that glorious good news is not just that you escaped hell, but a part of the glorious gospel is that when you received the Lord, you received what had happened to him when God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. He raised you from the dead and seated you at his own right hand, where you can share his throne rights far above all principality and power. Though this is true, the enemy will try to get you not to know about it. It is strangely true, reading Macmillan again, that although its principles, the authority of the believer, are set forth in a definite way in the epistle to the Ephesians, there is very little grasp of them by the majority even of spiritual believers. Even though the book of Ephesians is very clear about our place far above all principality and power and might and dominion, the majority of even spiritual believers don't really get it. They will be, for instance, I heard Brother Copeland talking about himself. One time he was just storming the gates of heaven in his prayer. Storming the gates of heaven in his prayer. And the Lord said to him, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm storming the gates of heaven." You see, that was something that was kind of popular for people to say. And the Lord said to him, "Why are you storming the gates of heaven? This city, the heavenly city, is at least 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles broad. Why are you way out there when the throne is right in the center of it all and you've been seated with him in the heavenlies?" But the enemy wants us always to think of ourselves as somebody not quite worthy, somebody like a little worthless worm. We're way far away and we have to beg God to come on the scene. No, God filled you with his very self. And not only that, he raised you with the Lord and seated you at his own right hand. It's only there that you have any authority over anybody like a demon-possessed person that would come into a classroom and shoot it up. I believe if one person had known their authority and where they were sitting and they had looked at that Mr. Cho and they had said, "In the name of Jesus and by his blood, cease and desist in your maneuvers," those demons would have had to obey. Probably Cho, when they let him go, would have dropped his gun. You see, we have to know these things. It's absolutely necessary, and we're going into them more this week and next. Please be with us. And in the meantime, send for your copy of The Authority of the Believer. We got this book back in print. Thank the Lord. Thousands of them have now been sold. You can get yours. You can order it for $8. Just write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, or you can call us there at our regular office, 1-800-972-3447, $8, Authority of the Believer, or you can go online at billybrim.org. I'm trusting that when you do send for your book, only $8, that you will read it immediately, that you will put it into your life and practice, and you'll start taking authority. Shalom, shalom.